Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council regular meeting work session. Ms. Tidwell, please. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Prus.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad.
Okay, first up on the docket is a resolution 5136 in support of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Ordinance 2425, amending the Fairbanks North Star Borough Code, Title 18 regarding parking and loading requirements, postponed from October 14th. And we have a proposed substitute. So we looked at this and we gave it to the head of our engineering, Mr. Pristash. Then he, along with Jerry, came up with the proposed substitute. Jerry, you want to bring us to the substitute? Mr. Pristash is not here.
This is the first time I've seen it, too. This came in late yesterday. Danny can give you the history of this. So I'm looking at this for the first time, too. But, I mean, at the last meeting, we asked for engineering to take a look at it because I had some concerns that it seemed like it was trumping some of the federal mandates we have here at the city and in engineering. The two should be in agreement with each other. And so I'd asked Bob and the staff to take a look at it, and this is what they came up with. So I can't respond to anything definitively here because I'm looking at this the first time myself, but there's a lot of red ink.
Okay.
So between now and the next council meeting, you know, council members can take a look at it. And if they have questions, just, you know, ask Bob. I mean, hopefully he can be here for the meeting.
You know, Bob was invited to the meeting that they had a work session on this 2 days before the work session. So I really never had time to look at this per se in its entirety. So he came to me with about seven major concerns. And looks like he has incorporated them into Jerry's proposed substitute here. So everyone take a look at it and be prepared to, yes, Mr. Ringstad.
The changes to the resolution itself are pretty minor. Going to the backup part of this, I'm assuming that the colored stuff is what the borough proposed, and the parts where the line is through it is what we're proposing that they should take out?
Insert and take out, yes.
All the red is city markup.
All the red is city markup.
Correct.
So why do we have part of it? We're saying include and delete half of it.
The borough, their changes are just the underlined in black.
There he is.
They're underlined in black.
Yeah.
Mr. Pristash, come to the center stage, please. We're discussing your
coat off. Stay a while.
Proposals to the borough ordinance. Now, first and foremost, City of Fairbanks controls all parking on streets in every way, shape, and form.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So we'll start with that as a basis. Now, you made some changes to the boroughs, some proposed changes, rather. And good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Are you awake yet?
Okay.
You need more coffee.
The comments I made and provided at the last council meeting, they resulted from me reviewing the ordinance that the borough proposed. So to start with, the ordinance regurgitates many things that are in the Americans with Disabilities Act and the International Building Code. And you really wouldn't want to do that. You want to just refer to those two documents when you're talking about handicap access required for off-site parking. Well, a good example would be the borough code for site triangles. They call out a 35-foot leg of a site triangle back from the intersection of a roadway. Well, that's only appropriate if the roads are equal. An example would be Cowles in 8th Avenue or any of the side streets crossing Cowles. You'll see some equal leg site triangles on Cowles and those intersecting roads. That's not appropriate. An appropriate one is on 8th and Cowles now. You see, an equilateral triangle would only be good if the roads were the same, but because Cowles has higher speed and higher volume, one leg of that site triangle would be longer, so you can see down Cowles further. So when the borough calls out equal leg triangles, it's inappropriate. They should be calling out the geometric design of streets, and it really should be left to the authority having jurisdiction over the right-of-way. So that's why when they call out specific things about handicap access in here, they shouldn't be doing that. They should be just referring to the Americans with Disabilities Act, in my opinion, and the International Building Code. The building department, if they're going to look at a site development, they're going to use the International Building Code to see what's required for handicap access. Looking at the building code or the borough code and seeing what's there could be just like the site triangle issue, where it'd be incorrect. You should go back to the guiding documents. Okay, so that's what they have in here. They also have a situation where they're calling out access to the right-of-way with parking. Again, backing into the street, you know, isn't necessarily preferred, but in some cases it's the worst situation, except for everything else you can do, really. An example would be on Lacey Street, where the development is such that there is no way to keep the parking required for the business or the structure without backing into the street.
We do that on Second
Ave. We do. And exactly is what I'm talking about. They should not be calling out in here situations where it's allowed. It's not appropriate in the parking ordinance, they should be referring it back to the authority having jurisdiction, which would be the city in this case, or the DOT, if it's a DOT road. They shouldn't be calling it out here. They should be just saying, thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Anyway. Yeah, so that's access to the right-of-way. And the other thing is they also call out use of the right-of-way. The use of the right-of-way isn't just for the adjoiners, it's for the whole community. I was at a planning commission when we were talking about Mini Street, I don't know, a few years ago, where some of them said, well, the people who live on the street, they would like to close Mini. They think that was a good idea. Well, again, Mini Street closing, it might be good to the residents. They might feel that they want to close Mini Street, like a lot of people want to live on a dead end. But the right-of-way isn't just for the adjoiners, it's for the whole community. So in this ordinance, they talk about using parking in the right-of-way to meet the requirements of an off-site development. And that's true. They can say, you know, Golden Towers, whatever, you can park in the right-of-way. But if a resident comes to the building manager and the building manager says, well, you can park in the right-of-way, and the person says, well, no, somebody's in my spot. Well, it's not their spot. Anybody can park in the right-of-way. They can, but so can anybody else. So you really can't designate parking in the right-of-way for a particular person. And that's what I think they're inferring to in here. Maybe not, but to me, it's not clear enough for me to recommend acceptance of the ordinance as they wrote it.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Yeah, what actual part are you looking at that you...
Well...
Where is that you say so?
I think in this handout that I sent out last time, these comments that were provided at the last council meeting, I think it would be page 9 of their ordinance.
Bob, can you provide a section?
Yeah, we don't have a page numbers on these.
What you do on the, behind the resolution, you got page numbers on their ordinance, page 9 of 12.
Where?
Maybe, well, I'm guessing here, in their ordinance, 229, line 229. Do you have the ordinance?
It's on.
We have their ordinance, but we don't have your, we don't have page numbers or line numbers on your proposal.
Well, on their ordinance, they have numbers on every sentence.
Okay, go to the, you have the original one in your packet?
So it'd be under.
Go to the original one and then use the other one as comparison.
So you're looking at I, section I. And you're taking out the whole paragraph, section I. Use of on-street parking.
Right.
Okay.
So, again, they can use on-street parking to meet the requirements, which I think is a good thing. The relaxation of restrictions to stimulate development, I think, is a general accepted practice around the world, basically. As long as they realize that it can't be dedicated to that particular development, anybody has the right to use it as well.
It seemed like they also tried to get into a parking lot engineering.
Well, they can, but they can't, or they shouldn't be dictating the handicap access in the parking lot. That is determined by the Americans with Disability Act and the International Building Code. Again, that's what they should be referring to. They shouldn't be calling out slopes of the driveways and distances from doorways and the width of doorways or width of anything. All that is in the code. And remember, those codes are updated on a regular basis. So again, you could be calling out, so you can make an error by reproducing what's there for one thing. Plus, you may not be up to date when the standards change. American Disability Act is going to change here shortly. So everything that's written down now is going to be changing, so you need to refer back to the new code.
Ms. Rogers.
I know that you're in regular meetings with the borough. Is there a reason being offered as to why they're making their own personal changes rather than referring to things in the practical way that you're saying is already laid out for us? Is like
is that a state
looking for? Are there certain grants that are requesting this of them, or
I don't know why they did this. I don't know.
I
think it was the general idea was because you know, last winter we had a consultant come up and his final recommendation was to relax restrictions, lower the bar of entry, essentially. So I think this is a good idea. You recall it was, and it's a good idea to relax restrictions, but then they started to get into these other areas that really, you know, I wouldn't recommend.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, I think last time we heard from Kellen, he had mentioned that he worked with you on these.
Well,
so I'm confused by that.
Not exactly. I mean, they asked me to review it like 3 days before. I didn't have time.
Okay, so they wanted to work with you.
Yeah. And Melissa called me, you know, at the last council meeting, you know, at 5:30, says we need to talk about this. And I said, you know, I'm right in the middle of finishing up construction season here. I mean, is this the highest priority we have? I'm trying to put the Portland Lou in and then Barnett and then 4th Avenue, and there's a lot of different things going on. I said, really, is this the highest priority? She goes, no, it can wait. And I said, okay.
But in general, you're not fighting back on the idea of loosening some of the parking?
No, I think that is the greatest idea they've come up with in a long time, is to reduce the restrictions, because that's probably one of the things that's holding developers back, where they have to provide all these parking spaces. It really depends on the development. What are we going to do with the Polaris site?
Exactly. And if I may, one more time. I think the perfect example of this is the borough building parking lots, the two of them. They're just it's that we have so much of that, and half one of them doesn't get used, except for Snow Dump or other businesses.
You know, when we were designing Fifth Avenue, right, we approached them about redesigning that parking lot to reduce the number of driveways. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to do it.
And that was really, I think, an unfortunate situation.
But it would require a lot of, you know, in their defense, you know, there's head bolt heaters would have to be relocated, and then the whole striping would have to be redone. But
that's a perfect example, is it not, of private overriding the better good for on-street parking, access and cuts in the sidewalks, people having to worry about car passage.
Right. It could have been done then because we were designing the street. And where the drains go, and where the transformer and the controller for the head bolt heaters, all of that stuff can have been moved at that time because it was all being replaced anyway. But you know, we don't necessarily. I don't know the business model for a lot of lots in town. I don't know what the best number of parking spaces. Who does?
Ms. Tidwell.
I was just wondering, I'm assuming because this is the first time we're seeing this substitution, have they seen this? Do we know their thoughts on?
I do not think they've seen it yet. This is the first time we've seen it, so okay. I don't think it's
we
been
just
transferred
saw it yesterday.
To them.
Yeah, right, okay.
I sent the borough this the day after the last council meeting.
Okay.
And most of these things, really, this is the gist of it.
I marked up
their ordinance based on these comments.
Mr. Ringstead.
So let me go back. Maybe you can clarify for me. We've got this marked up ordinance. I'm assuming this is what most of your changes are. Now, some of the stuff in colored here are underlined and some are lined out. And I'm not sure who's putting what in and who's taking which ones out.
Yeah,
what recommendations are the ones you're recommending to us?
Well,
Mr. Ringstead, we have Danny here wanting to interject some information for you.
Everything in black is the original borough ordinance. Even if it's underlined, bracketed, all of that is the original ordinance language. Everything in red, whether it's stricken or added language, is stuff the city is striking or adding or proposing to add.
So if you've got, like in the first line, we put in and are overly restrictive and do not always accurately reflect the overall parking. But the last phrase has got a line through it. So are we asking to put it in?
We're asking to put in and are overly restrictive, and we're asking to strike and do not always accurately reflect.
Okay, so that second phrase is already in it.
Right, but we're asking them to strike it.
Okay, got it.
Would it not have been clearer to have just left it black and put a red line through it, since it was their ordinance?
I don't have a word. Do
okay. We don't have a word document of the ordinance.
Due to technical difficulties.
Sorry, I'm not judging your expertise. I just wondered.
All right, Kayla. Everyone, we meet next Monday, so take a look at this, and I'm sure we'll have more debate discussion on it. Mr. Ringstead.
Do they have this on their calendar for a specific point in time that we're going to say we have to vote on it today because they're going to vote on it tomorrow?
We do, but I don't recall the date right off the top of my head.
Yes.
When Kellen was here last time, I asked him exactly that question. He said it's going to be on their October meetings. I think they're taking it up.
Probably the 17th. Yeah, they meet on the first and third Thursday. So we have the 14th. And my thought and hope is they take a look at our substitute and postpone it for examination, the whole thing, and incorporate ours into it.
Suggestion to him Thursday evening?
Yes. Yes, Ms. Sprinkle.
So again, it's just process. Has this gone through Planning Commission, or will it yet go, or how does this work?
It has, and yeah, they did a similar presentation to the Planning Commission, and we voted unanimously to have the assembly approve it.
I guess my question would be, why did it get to us so late?
Well, it's process. It's a process. I think, right?
Honestly, the only reason that it got to us, I brought it to us because I was very excited about it. I thought it would be something that we would want to support. Yeah. I didn't realize that there was going to be, you know, I guess I didn't realize that our engineering department wasn't involved to the extent that I thought that they were.
Right.
And so I kind of thought we would just be like, yeah, this is awesome. So that's why it was brought to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have seen it.
Crystal, I thought the same thing until Bob started showing us some of the aspects that would not be good. So, okay. Ms. Rogers.
That's my main comment about all of this is the timing. And thank you for adding what you just said there. However, it's just discouraging to hear that because the idea of approving something so across the board, if the Planning Commission hasn't gone through the arduous procedure of line by line by line on this, I find that disappointing.
It has gone through the Planning Commission.
Line by line by line with all of this new?
Well, not our suggestions, that's, obviously, because we just got them.
That's what I'm getting at. I've heard discussion on this topic for years, and I find it always disingenuous at the last minute to find something of many pages with lots of exceptions and nuances and all of that. At the last minute, and that's something that over and over and over in my tenure here that I find real disappointing that we enact something that has a whole lot of punch to it, but we don't really have time to be able to do it properly. And so when something is brought to us in this fashion at the last minute, then I think we can only properly respond by saying, no, at this point. We have to have more time to look at it and understand the circumstance. So
Ms. Sprinkle.
My two cents.
I'm about process in this one. If we've made these kinds of changes, thank you, Bob, for doing this, does it then go back to planning? Because this is part of their situation?
Well, I mean, we've made these changes, but this is the borough's ordinance. So that's why I asked if they had seen it, whether they look at this and are like, yeah, that's awesome. We're going to change the ordinance. I mean, we don't know that. These are our suggestions. It's not our ordinance. It'll be up to them to incorporate the things that we're asking them to incorporate.
I just didn't know which body took precedent, whether it's planning because this is a planning document or if it was...
I would assume
assembly.
Well, they changed. I mean, the Planning Commission really just gives a recommendation for approval or not. When it gets to the assembly, they often change and add things after the Planning Commission has weighed in.
So
I don't think it would go. It probably wouldn't go back to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a first reading or there's a second reading either. Okay. I just know it's coming up on the 17th. That's all I know. So. But, Bob, thank you for a very good thorough review. And hopefully the borough takes a look at it and says, you know, there are some very good things here that the city engineer wants to incorporate. Let's take a look at this. And I don't think this is we got to get this done tomorrow type of ordinance. A practice measure is probably best. Ms. Rogers, thank you for bringing that out. Mr. Clearworthy, do you have something?
No, I mean, this is not time sensitive. They can postpone theirs or work with it too. This has been a long time in the making. We're heading for the same goal here.
Yeah.
They just need to acknowledge that the city has codes that we need to follow. So that's all.
Okay. Ms. Sprinkle?
No, sorry. I'm just excited.
Your hand's up and your light's on. You don't want me to call on you? Is that okay? It's okay. Okay, we're going to move on to Resolution 5137, a resolution authorizing the city chief financial officer to open an Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool cash enhancement series 2 account. That's a big statement, Margarita. You want to bring us through this?
Good morning, everyone. The Finance Committee, we've been reviewing cash flow and analysis, and we currently maintain funds in what we call an AMLIP account, a Series 1, and they've recently created a Series 2 fund. And so the Finance Committee reviewed it at their last meeting and recommend that we invest at least $10 million into that particular Series 2 funds. There are some differences between the two funds. The first one is the access to the capital is slightly different. The current investment, account that we have, we can withdraw funds immediately. With this particular account, there is a three-day window. The second one is the portfolio composition. This second series has more investments in corporate funds, more stocks. So that keeps the account, the interest, possibly higher than what we currently invest in. Therefore, we feel that there is an amount that we can invest that we do not need to tap into immediately, that we can have that can earn more interest. And that just sums up what we would like to do, the Finance Committee.
Ms. Sprinkle and Mr. Ringstead, you're introducing us. Any additional comments you want to make? Ms. Sprinkle.
I'll just say that Margarita brought us through this process, made the comparisons really clear to us. Our other two committee members were very happy about this, as well as John and I. So I think that it felt very safe and also an opportunity that we should follow up.
Mr. Cleworth.
I like the term cash enhancement. just a question for you. They're offering two different options here. Is the second option that we're looking at a higher risk? Is there a risk?
Yes, it is more risk in that it has more in corporate than the other plan. The other plan is mostly in money markets, CDs. This plan will have more in corporate investment.
Is the money market CD guaranteed? I mean, is there a federal FIDC, that sort of thing?
Yes, on both plans. Both plans have investments in CDs and money markets, and they're both FDIC. But the corporate investments portion of it is the difference between the two. There's more stocks involved in the Series 2 than the Series 1.
Okay.
Mr. Marnie.
So are we kind of testing the waters with just starting out with the $10 million, or are we happy with just $10 million in this?
At this time, when we reviewed the cash flow of the city, we felt that there was a point in time when the city needed more than the $10 million. Not that we plan, and 3 days is enough time for us to know whether or not we need to withdraw funds. But we felt that with the $10 million, that'll give us an opportunity to test it in a sense, like you state. And we knew that those would be the amount of funds that we would need immediately if anything happened.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Overall comment from me, Margarita. I think the Finance Committee is operating exactly in a great way. You have very knowledgeable people there, and it's things like this that you bring it to us, and you bring it through a process. So greatly appreciate it. John, Sue, thank you very much for your involvement in this. Greatly appreciated. Next up is Resolution 5138, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to accept funds from United States Department of Justice Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services for fiscal year 2024, promoting access to crisis team and community policing development program. This has not been introduced yet, but it will be introduced by me. Margarita, want to bring us through this? It's the first time I've seen it. but oh. I'm. Brenda, would you come up and bring us through my resolution that I've wrote so proficiently? You're a wonderful ghostwriter, thank you. Exactly.
Good morning. So you saw this when we had the resolution to apply for it, but we did receive it. We were one of 12 cities to receive this funding. And so you have in the resolution what we put in the grant that we would spend the money on, and I can answer any questions.
Yes, Ms. Ringstead.
So this is a two-year grant, right?
Yes.
And a good portion of it's training. What happens at the end of 2 years? Presumably we have most of our crew over there trained and up to speed on it, and we have the need for training drops significantly. Is that something we will have to look at again in the future as we continue new personnel? And
I'm really thinking of this as almost like surge money to get it going. NAMI has, National Alliance of Mental Illness, has really good programs where they help coordinate these types of trainings with departments. And you can also apply into associations where overtime will be covered for your officers if you're doing it with NAMI in the correct, you know, time frame. And so this is like a surge to give them a person that would be on contract that can really get it going for the department. So that's the majority of it. And then they should be able to go forward doing it. And the goal would be that all of the officers would be CIT trained.
But you don't see it as a big, at the end of 2 years, we got to start funding a significant portion of this again.
No, the only one that I would like to try to at least document what the cost and what the Medicaid billing capability is that part-time peer support specialist. So if we can, even if we don't bill Medicaid for their services, if we at least knew what could have been billed, that would be the one. And I would, when hiring that position, if I was involved in that, want to be really clear that this was a grant funded position for that part-time.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Hey, thanks, Brenda. Is this meant to then augment the crisis now that we have?
No, not at all. This is a training for law enforcement and to make sure that, you know, for the calls that they do go on, that they're fully trained for them. So it's just national standard for police departments to be trained in this crisis intervention team training.
Ms. Ringstead, then Ms. Marnie.
You said that going down the road here, you'd be working with NAMI doing this?
Yeah.
Full disclosure, my wife works for NAMI.
I guess I should disclose. I guess I should disclose. I'm on the board of NAMI Alaska too, so why we're disclosing.
Okay, Mr. Marnie.
Well, since this took an effect, I guess the 1st of October this month, have we begun the search for this part-time position?
No, we wanted to come and have this approved first, and then move forward once the council approved it.
Do we have anybody in mind?
No.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So, Brenda, who does the part-time peer support specialist work under?
We wrote it that I would supervise them, and then someone did mention that depending on their level of peer support specialist, the way that works for billing, there might be a need for a peer support 3 to supervise them, and we have 2 as employees at the City of Fairbanks. So I think it would be one of the positions like Marcia or Bren or myself.
Mr. Ringstead.
Mr. Mayor, since you were in a hurry when you drafted this, I'm thinking maybe we should, when we get to that point, change the start date of this grant. if we approve it on the 14th, then Margarita, at some point in the future, we should shouldn't be retroactive.
It's indicated based on the grantee, I mean the grantor. So that October 1st date, even though we may not be ready to start, the grantor has given it an October 1 start date.
For all applications.
Where the funds are available.
Okay.
And they had to submit a timeline, and in that timeline, we put that the first months of it were the hiring and writing of the RFP for the contractor.
Brenda and Tom, thank you for writing a precise resolution for me. Any other questions for Brenda? Thank you very much, Brenda. We can go now to resolution 5139, author resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for and accept fundings for the Bureau of Justice Assistance for fiscal year 2024, Edward Bryan Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. This has not been introduced. Okay. Margarita, what are we doing here?
This is an annual grant that we receive each year. It's for law enforcement, and this year the police department would like to use the funds to for the fifth year of the TASER contract that they have, and to use it for equipment and basically and training mats and wall panels for next door.
Okay. Any questions? Mr. Marnie?
Oh, I would like to put my name on this, if I may.
Certainly. Of course. Ms. Sprinkle?
Can just, I don't know what a training mat and a wall panel is. Just, I'm just curious. What?
Oh, really? With the taser?
Yeah. Want me to? So, Sergeant.
Down, boys. Down.
I see how you are.
Yeah. Sergeant Reuter is their defensive tactics trainer. And he came over here the other day and was, telling me about the mats. Basically, it's just mats so that they're not getting hurt when they're practicing detaining moves on each other.
Same with the wall panels? Is that
yeah, same thing. Yeah,
like so just not, cushions or something?
Yeah, cushions, exactly. Think of like wrestling mats.
Okay, very good. You want me to get tased is what that one. Okay.
You're figuring that out.
I feel closer to you, John.
Okay, we'll move on from that electric subject. Item number 6, Ordinance 6292, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 16-167 and Section 14-214 to require written notice licensings of hearings for alcohol and marijuana license applications. This has not been introduced, but it was submitted by both Ms. Sprinkle and Mr. Marnie. Mr. Marnie, you want to take this one from the beginning?
Well, after our last council meeting where we had the Mecca on deck, we obviously had an error, a process error. And so Sue and I talked about it, and we got with Ms. Snyder, which I believe was the author of this.
She writes pretty good, doesn't
she? Yeah, she does. In fact, I responded to her email. It was perfect. But Ms. Sprinkle thought, we should, I think, written and email both are probably needed in this.
You know, communications is some of the most important thing you can do. We probably haven't updated the communications of this in this century, when you look at it.
Yeah.
And the better we can communicate with any licensee, the better. So thank you, Ms. Sprinkle, and thank you, Mr. Marty, for taking this, and thank you, Danny, for
Well, hopefully it'll bring more people in so we get acquainted with our business owners in town.
Yeah. Mr. Ringstead, then Ms. Rogers.
Just because of my ignorance in process here, the difference between our policies and our procedures and our what we put into the our codes, I mean, is this something that should be in the code? It should be a policy? I mean, I don't know if we have policy manuals for every department that we're supposed to be following, and I'm just making sure we get this in the right place. I think it's the right thing to do. I just don't know how we get it in the right place.
Yeah. I look at this and what they've done, and my thought is, you put in ordinance, the city clerk is a direct employee of the city council. So Danny knows how to operate this best, but you put it in ordinance, and therefore it's a policy that must be adhered to versus changed. So,
but what I mean, I guess my question for Tom would be, is it the difference between putting in our policy, I'm assuming we have policy manuals, I don't know, there versus here? Is there
so I like to I like to use the general code when we're looking externally at our communications externally, and then policy when we're looking more internally on these things. So with this particular thing, because we're putting it in our general code, it sets an expectation for license holders so they know, oh, this is an expectation, the city will communicate. It's kind of an externally focused item. There are policies for different departments and citywide policies, but they're mostly aimed internally.
Okay. Mr. Cleworth.
Not totally germane to this ordinance here, but some months ago when we were looking at Garden Island, and we made a decision, and the folks were saying, well, we'd like to appeal that, only to find out that the board they wanted to appeal it to had met before we did and made their approval conditional upon ours, which is absolutely backwards. And I'm wondering if maybe at a future date we should write a resolution to the state board and say, you know, we would appreciate it first that we weigh in before you weigh in, and keep that appeals system open for people if they want to do that. I was kind of stunned to see that they had done that. That's not the procedure I remember they used to follow. But just an idea, possibly we should have, if the council thinks it's a good idea, have a resolution to be sent to them that they weigh in after we weigh in.
I guess what me and Danny should do is take a review of the different licenses they have in the queue, or that's there right now for updating or reapproval, and see if we are behind on any, and have, start having a look at it that way on our behalf. And now you have a ordinance here to get in touch with them. So I think it'd behoove us to be following the state of Alaska so we are not behind. Yeah, that way we know what's in their queue and when it's coming up. So,
good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Sorry to put more work on you, Danny, but guess what? You have people who work for you, and you have a budget coming up. Are there any other questions? I'm sorry, June. Yeah.
I would like to have my name put on this, but then given all this other discussion, I think it's important that we have the best written definitions of good concrete communication. I think that communication is so essential, and if we have things that are vague, I was under the impression that people were being notified because they've been showing up for years. So
yeah.
I didn't have any idea that we weren't sending out notices.
What in this, looking at this now, you know, it raises questions to me. We have to have our review of a license at least 1 month to 2 months before it goes to the state of Alaska in case we have an issue and we have to postpone it like we have in the past other ones. So we have to look at our policy on how soon we review it when we can versus our ordinance on how we communicate. So, you know, the mecca sort of opened up a hole that we have to sort of close with communication. So it's not as one said and done as we thought. So, yes, Ms. Rogers.
Well,
actually adding comments about the MECA, I think that was one of the best meetings we've had in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. We had public engagement in very, very positive direction. I don't think that we had anything that really was discouraging. I think everybody who was in the room was working towards a single good solution, and that they all had Fairbanks in mind when they were talking. And that was one of the best meetings we've had in years, I feel. And I'll put my name on whatever it is that's going to allow us to have really open, ongoing, better communication.
Okay. By next Monday's meeting, we should have more information for you in regards to this. And this is a first reading, I believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mr. Ringstead.
I'm reading these. I haven't never looked at these things before. There's a section in here that we didn't change that says the clerk will prepare and lodge an appropriate protest if the council protests this within 60 days. If we're going to talk about the timing of who talks to who when, I mean, if we wait 60 days after we decide no, we're going to protest it, well, the state could have already made their decision by then.
Yeah, that's why we have to know that.
We need to take a look at that section F.
This puts us on notice to know their schedule and then start backing out when we have to reach out to the licensees and the public. So, Mr. Marnie.
Just to let the council know that I have had a couple of texts, conversations with Ms. Blakely. And so that is working towards a meeting. She was ill, and then she's had some family issues. So I believe she's out of town currently, but we have not dropped the ball on this. So thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
All right, well, I didn't want to talk much more about this. That was a painful meeting for me, to be honest. And I wondered to say that as much as we heard from the public, we didn't get to have a conversation. It was all one way. And I'm sad that didn't get resolved. I felt like we could have had a better resolution in general with the bar owner, and we did not have that.
Ms. Rogers.
Given this comment, question, and perhaps Jerry, with all of your decades of meeting a focus, particularly about the public meetings, why are we not allowed to ask questions of the persons who are before us giving testimony? Because that would provide this that is being spoken to here, I think. And I've never had a really good understanding of that with whether it be city, borough, state. You just speak, and it's almost like wah, 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 and it just goes right over, right over, right over, and there's no discussion. Maybe there could be two different kinds of opportunities for people bringing concerns at different times of the evening or that sort of thing. I know that we've worked on, Jerry, you can add to this, of different times like that, because we were concerned that a lot of people were not able to get their voices heard because they had to be at a certain time after certain other things. And so maybe we can rearrange some of our time frame of our meeting in order to accommodate discussion also. So, and I just think that answers what Sue's talking about.
Thank you.
And I still maintain it was one of the best meetings we've had because we had so many interested persons talking to us instead of just being irritable about things and talking to someone who couldn't do anything to change it. So,
I guess maybe every other year we should protest that license just to give her a lot of business and have discussion. No? Okay. We'll move on. That was a one and done, yeah. Okay, ordinance, unnamed ordinance here, unnumbered rather. An ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code 26, Article 3. Emergency Medical Services, adding regulations governing private ambulance services and amending city schedule of fees and charges for services. This has not been introduced, but it'll probably be introduced by myself, if not a few others. Anyway, take a look at this. We are looking at allowing a medical service provider for ambulance transportation. So we'll have a good work session on this. It's a lot to review right now. So, okay, next, Mr. Clearworth. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
If you're going to have a work session, I'm fine with that. This is different from the ones we've had in the past, isn't it, somewhat?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Pardon my cough. I apologize.
No, I don't think it's a different version.
I don't think so either.
Okay. It has some changes, but okay.
I mean, are we still trying to limit? Are we still not allowing them to respond to a critical emergency call?
We're allowing them to do transports. That's it.
But we're not going to treat them like a mutual aid partner like we do with the rest of the people in the borough?
No.
And I have a problem with it. Okay.
That's why it's in writing for us to look at, debate, discuss, and figure out a direction. So, okay, number 8 on our list, a memo from the building department. Christoph.
Good morning. This memo is in regards to kind of reorganizing senior structural plan check engineer position into a code compliance inspector / building inspector. So the idea there is we open the pool to qualified applicants, and that one of the qualifications is not to be a licensed engineer, rather an experienced building inspector with the ICC certifications of residential building inspector and commercial building inspector. Well, the idea is we're opening up the talent pool, I guess, for lack of a better word term. However, what it'll do is it'll place a little more reliance and coordination on using our current third-party structural engineering firm, who we contract with, I believe, every 5 years. I think 3 years with 1 year renewals. And currently we use RESPEC, formerly PDC, to do some of our more intensive plan review. So we use them. However, we're gonna need to lean on them a little more heavily, and that'll cause a little more coordination on certain structural opinions that we'll need.
Mr. Engstead.
I appreciate where you're trying to go with this. I guess I'd kind of looked at it and said, okay, if we've got a position that's been vacant this long, either we eliminate the position or we do something else. The concern has been the workload of who's doing the actual work. So am I then assuming that this gives you a better way to get the work done without one or two of you trying to do this as other duties as assigned? It seemed like there was whoever they was getting picked up by people that already had a full job because this position has been vacant
for a long time, okay. Right? Yes. We currently had a building inspector with the structural background kind of filling that position, and then he retired 2 years ago and then was working part time. So we were, he filled that position per se, but currently it's, the temporary thing.
So, yeah, we need to get a full-time position.
Yeah, we need to get a full-time position.
So will this change then be, if we do this, I mean, this is going to come into our budget here in a couple of weeks?
Yes, it is.
Would that change like this?
Yep.
So why are we doing this right now as opposed to just putting in the budget next month?
Well, you know, it...
Six of one, half dozen of the other?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I think the important thing is looking at this and saying, yeah, it's been vacant for 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, the right thing here to, let's manage this. Yeah.
It's a way to keep you informed of exactly what's going on in the building department. Ms. Sprinkle.
Christoph, the guy that is retired and then he gets, kind of comes up for summertime, what's his name?
Marty Woodrow.
Is he still going to work with you or is he done?
He's done.
Okay,
he's
so that's part of the issue that we need to really sort this out, right?
Correct, but the part-time thing needed to be resolved also.
For sure.
So
for sure.
I mean, the idea was that it would extend to the end of the year. It just didn't work out that way.
Okay. I love that because we need you, someone full-time. I get you.
We need a full-time position.
So when we say we're going to save $2,700, that's great. Do we have a sense of how much more respect might one need to take on? That'll be shown in their budget, I suppose, huh?
Correct.
And we'll estimate that.
Correct.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Mr. Marney.
So I know we were in the interview process for that position that you're wanting to add to your department. Has that decision been made?
For the code compliance electrical inspector, and that... good news, Chris Mancuso, journeyman electrician, has accepted that job, and he'll start October 16th. Okay. So we have the electrical inspector position filled.
But we don't have an abatement.
Oh, sorry, person. I wasn't talking about the abatement.
Abatement's been filled.
Okay. Okay. I didn't see an announcement on that, or...
The abatement specialist, Jared Zerbe, started on October 1st. He's getting spun up. He's been like to some of the encampment abatements and stuff like that. We're getting him around to all the different departments to meet with Christoph, to meet with Jeremiah yesterday. He's getting around. He's been here for a week and a day.
Nice to meet him.
Okay, next we're going to go to the Finance Committee report, item number 9. Margarita.
Oh, hello again. Just to wrap up our meeting from September the 26th, we discussed the cash flow analysis and the resolution you had before you earlier today reflect the decisions of that committee. We reviewed the reports as of August 31st. Our balance sheet had a fund balance of $16.3 million. Our revenues were at $30.7 million. Our expenditures were at $27.7 million as of that date, and our cash flow was at $26 million. Our next meeting is Thursday, October the 24th at 7 a.m., we'll be reviewing September 30, our quarterly statements, but we're also starting to take a look at a little bit of economic development strategies. And that sums up my report.
Okay. Council members, any member comments? We'll start with Mr. Ringstead.
Comments. I saw our troops over there working on the homeless camp over there by the entrance to Fort Wainwright. I appreciate that effort. I stopped by there the next day and they were finishing cleaning up another, I think, successful and appropriate effort there. So thanks for the folks involved in that.
Mr. Marty.
Follow up on John's comment. What did that cost us or did we pay for that?
We'll get you that. That's state DOT property.
Okay. Good news. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell. Ms. Sprinkle.
I want to celebrate because the Alaska Motor Lodge is no more. And it's a glorious thing. So I appreciate all who were involved, and I can't wait to see what happens there. So a little step forward.
Mr. Clearworth.
Some months ago, we had a meeting with the police regarding the videotaping costs. And I kind of thought that there was going to be some kind of a change in billing coming forward. Is that still in the process?
I don't think we have the ability to change the billing, do we? Isn't that where we left off? Are we?
Mr. Chairman?
We have, the council has some limited ability to change, but it would require a little bit more discussion, I think, and a little bit deeper dive.
Okay. Well, we had the work session, and that was kind of the gist of it, I thought. So I'd like to see us be able to...
Jerry, we'll get back to that.
Cover the costs.
Good okay. Catch.
Thank you.
Sadly, I must call on Ms. Rogers for her last work session.
I get to sleep in from now.
But you won't.
No, I won't. I have some other obligations. I have to ask a question about, we have this information that was added to, it wasn't part of our agenda. Is this something that was to be discussed at this meeting, or is this something for future, or?
I didn't, what is that, Ms.?
Is that a letter from a citizen regarding a police issue?
Mm-hmm.
That was placed in your box by my staff at the request of a public member some maybe a week or two ago, so it's just, it was an item in your mailbox, and I believe Chief Doopy sent a follow-up email to the council in that regard. I can double
but
check.
It's not that. For today's discussion.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, that answers that question and that. And thank you, Mayor, for your kind words. It's all bittersweet. It's been a real. It's a tremendous responsibility, but it's a good responsibility, and I think that. The idea of community conversation is the core of any success that we have. And if we continue to strive for community conversation, I think that we will come out ahead of a lot of communities that are having really stressful times. And I think that many times we are able to solve some of those problems before they occur, but generally, problems aren't brought to you until after they occur, and we continue to work on those things in that fashion also. So I think that that's something that this council can and should be proud of, is that there's such a distinct focus on having community involvement in all the decision making that happens. And so this isn't a spot where only certain voices are heard, and it's wonderful to have been part of all of that. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, the last motor end, the two-story section came down, and it's just about removed. I was feeling cocky, and I called up Councilmember Ringstead, and we placed a wager if it would be removed and gone prior to the next city council meeting. And right now, I might win that wager, but we will see.
Second, I do have one more word.
Yes.
You and I had a discussion sometime long time ago when you were talking about wagers and whatnot, and I said I didn't think those were appropriate for the chamber of the discussion. And you said, well, aren't you a stick in the mud or some such thing as that? You know? So you've never asked me to wager on anything ever again. I know that.
Okay, we're going to go into executive session. Mr. Clearworth, you want to bring us there? We'll take a 5-minute recess between.
I go ahead and make a motion to go into executive session, discuss one item, the FFU labor negotiations.
Is there a second? Anyone opposed? Seeing none. We're adjourned for executive session. We'll start again at 8:10. Time. The city council met an executive session to discuss the Fairbanks firefighter labor negotiations. Discussions ensued, direction given, no further action taken. So, I did that a lot, yeah. I did that for like four straight years. So I wanted to see if you wanted the honor. Okay, next regular work session, Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024, and adjournment. Thank you, everyone.